How's it going, guys? My name's David Paul Torres. I'm lead guitar for Alfugas. And the first song I'm going to be playing is Knee Deep in Hell off the Welcome to the Machine album. So let's get to it.
Alright then, what's going on, guys? This is Considered Dead. I'm Dead King.
Travis from Winneka.
And today we're going to be interviewing
David Paul Torres, lead guitar from Alfugas.
Alright, welcome, brother. Yeah.
Woo!
Thank you for...
here, man. It's fun.
I'm glad you were able to go online with us, bro, because it's crazy times, man.
So for our listeners, we're doing things a little bit different today, because... you know, with this virus going on, you know, we all got to be safe. So we're actually doing a live stream with David through Zoom.
David.
Zoom, a video app. It's kind of like FaceTime. And so we're making it work. We're trying to make it work.
Yeah, it's new. So we're trying to get the hang of it right now, too. And I mean, David, you were telling us that you've been doing... lessons with online as well. How's that been going for you, huh?
Yeah, it's been a transition because, I mean, I've been teaching face-to-face for 6 years. So to go from that to suddenly, wait, I can't do face-to-face lessons anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, how am I going to do it? And so I just spent about 30 hours studying how I can get my setup going.
Ooh.
Do you have to have multiple cameras, like one on you, then one zoomed in on the neck?
Like, yeah. The student wants that, but more often than not, it's just been just one camera from the webcam to me, and then if I need to go up close, sometimes I'll just, you know, come up to the camera.
Yeah.
So what do you are you teaching like metal to your students?
You know, I'm teaching everything. You know, like I have a student that's learning country. I have a student that wants to learn blues.
Oh, so you know everything then. You're a renaissance man when it comes to guitar.
You know, classical guitar. So
awesome.
Everywhere and pretty much any age.
No, that's so, awesome.
Like, my youngest student right now is 11 and my oldest is 70. So it's a pretty wide range.
Cool.
So everybody, like, you teach them electric and acoustic?
Yeah. Definitely.
How do you do the solos though? You're like, okay, like if you look closely, watch how I do the solo. Like, how does that work?
Well, usually it's someone's trying to learn like a scale. So let's say, you know, we're doing some playing in B minor or something like that.
Mm.
And they like learning Metallica and stuff like that. So I'll find like Fade to Black, that's in B minor. So we'll I'll send them the music. So we both have the music on the music stand, and then we're going through everything. And, you know, like, you know, the rhythm, the counting, giving them pointers on hand position, technique. So that's kind of how we learn. So it's still hands-on from that point.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty awesome. You know, they're finding different ways to, you know, make things work, their job, make it work. And luckily for you, yeah. you know, you figured it out.
Yeah, it's been good. I'm just able to help the ones that still want to practice and learn guitar despite all the craziness happening. And that part of it has been good. I mean, we're all in quarantine. I mean, what better thing to do than practice guitar?
Well, right. Best time, man. The best time to practice.
I mean, it's the best time. I mean, whether you're trying to take lessons or write new music, you know, I know some people that are recording music.
Yeah, man.
Sending files and images to each other. You know, me and Mike, we're having a Zoom band practice the other day.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
It's been interesting.
Yeah, so you guys, as you guys know, our buddy here, David, he's also in a band, a thrash band, and yeah, they're pretty well known in the scene as well. So it's pretty cool that you're an instructor and then you're also in a metal band. So it's just like, you know, one day you're professional and the other day you're like rocking out. It's pretty cool. It's a cool transition. A lot of people probably don't even know that, you know, or do they? I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely wear different hats.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
It's kind of different. And then all the different styles of music. It's like, it's been interesting. It's been cool.
So, do you just play guitar, or do you sing too in the band?
No, I don't sing.
You ever tried, bro?
The horrible love it swears that I can't hold the tune, can't hold a pitch.
I feel you, man. It's a little tough to sing, but
no, I mean it's tough. You know, I give my credit and you know everybody credit. You know you credit for. Doing vocals, man.
Oh, yeah, I do growls, man. It's a little different.
Hey, man, you know, it's
Cookie.
Still,
Cookie Monster.
So, do you miss band practice, doing shows and stuff? Did you have shows lined up before this whole quarantine happened?
I mean, we had some ideas of things that we wanted to do. We were working hard. You know, working hard and, you know, had some momentum going, but, you know, this quarantine's kind of kicking at every music's ass, I think. And
yeah.
That part of it is disappointing, but it hasn't deterred us from reaching our goals.
Got it. You know, were you guys working on an album?
Well, we're working hard. We're working hard, you know, that's all I can say right now.
There you go.
Putting in work.
Fucus and you know, Fucus official on Instagram. You know, we have all the stuff going on right there. But it's been it hasn't slowed us down as far as trying to accomplish our goals.
Mm-hmm.
The live set, obviously, yeah, we can't play any shows. We miss that.
Oh yeah. Everyone misses it, man. It's just crazy. Everyone's like having withdrawals right now. that rush you get on stage, man. Everyone misses it.
Yeah, being on, being in the house. I mean, it's not the best. It's great for practice, but you know, kind of feel like a tiger in a cage. You know,
yeah.
Tigers are supposed to hunt. You know, and that's how we're feeling. You know, it's like you know we want to hunt. We want to go back out there, play the shows. Inspire people and
exactly.
It's going, and you know we're not able to do that. So,
well, if you did like a live set, like you guys just went outside, stayed 6 feet apart, wore masks and gloves, and just did like a live set, recorded it live.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I mean, that's an idea.
It's not out of the question. I mean, You got to do it somehow.
There you go.
Live performance on Facebook.
Yeah, let's gotta keep that in mind, man. Gotta do something, man. It's like a, you know, it's being in the house all this time. It's like,
yeah, it's like a little jail cell right now, man.
Exactly.
I mean, it has its perks, man, because, like, you know, we live life kind of fast, so, like, you know, every day it's like, oh, go to work, get in your car, go to traffic, come back, you know, do chores, go to sleep, you know what I mean? It's like a routine, and now routine is broken, bro. It's like, it's life is a little slow for once, you know, so it's like, it has its little perks, but it's also, it's like, it's weird because, you know, you have, like, muscle memory. You're just used to, like, getting up and doing stuff, and you're just like, oh, I can't. So, it's a weird time, man.
You get to sleep in late.
It's a lot of reflection on people, too.
No, I totally agree, man. Definitely getting away from all that traffic, though, man. That's been a nice
right
thing. Have you been on the freeway lately?
Yeah, you know what? I actually haven't. You know, we're doing all this driving, you know, to my students and stuff. And it's like, now I'm barely driving, you know, to the store or something.
Yeah, and the gas is like
$2?
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
It's been crazy, man.
Yeah, man, have you seen how cheap gas gotten now? It's like $2. $2, bro.
I feel like getting like the gas cans you use to fill up your lawnmowers and stuff. I feel like filling up those and then just keeping them, because once this quarantine's over, it's gonna go back up to $4 a gallon.
Seriously, man.
Yeah.
I bet you saved a lot of money, bro, not driving right now.
Yeah.
Definitely am for sure.
So.
All the driving, you know, with my students and stuff and everything else, it's like 400 miles a week almost.
Wow. No way. Like, okay, so, yeah. Like, where's the furthest student for you?
The furthest student, I can travel, I live in the valley now.
Mm-hmm.
I drive to Hollywood, which is a pain to get to, Culver City, Santa Monica. Out there, so it's just kind of everything, you know, and then everybody's like 20 minutes apart, so it's like driving out there and then driving another 20 minutes half across the city and then back, and then back home, which is like another 25 miles or whatever, you know. So I mean, it all adds up, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow, man. Do you miss it though at all? They like going out there,
you miss the traffic.
I don't miss the traffic now. But I miss seeing my students and having our band practices. It's, I definitely miss that. You know, not seeing family so much right now, definitely miss that.
Oh, yeah, it kind of sucks not seeing family right now, because I know some family members, they don't have the greatest health, and like, I can't even see my grandma at all. So it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that sucks, you know, so all the things that we were able to do, we're not able to do so much anymore, so it definitely puts things into perspective, for sure.
So I wanted to ask, brother, so your main instrument is guitar, but is there any other instrument that you play, or is that, it's just that, that's your baby right there?
I can play piano somewhat.
Yeah,
I can play piano somewhat, but I mean, it's been all guitar.
All right, so what made you decide to pick up the guitar, bro? And when did it started?
You know what? I started guitar late, man. When I was 18 years old, that's when I picked up guitar.
Oh, that's not bad. 18, that's not too bad.
Bass guitar.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin played lead guitar, and I didn't want to play guitar because of him. So, you know, I was playing bass for a little while, and then I was playing it like a damn guitar. So it's like, you know, might as well play guitar, and then, you know, started playing it. And what really hit me was listening to, like, you know, Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
The really crunchy. Percussive rhythms of heavy.
Yeah.
Not just like, I mean, I didn't really know metal then. you know, I was going from, you know, listening to sort of alternative rock stuff, you know, as a teenager and stuff like that, you know, to all of a sudden hearing Metallica, it's like, oh, you know, this is the heaviest thing I've ever heard.
A little, light, really a little light bulb came out.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
transition.
You know, the little light bulb came out. You know, I didn't know about Pantera. I was like, oh man, that's even like heavier, you know?
And then the horns came out.
Right. The horns grew, man. I was hooked, man. You know, when I heard Metallica, I was like, man, this is the coolest thing ever. How do you do that? You know, so that's kind of what inspired me to play heavy metal and guitar. Hatfield. So.
All right. So it how was your transitioning from, like, you know, getting into that music? Did you start right away, like, you know, looking up books how to play, or did you learn by ear? How did you get into, like crafting your skill?
You know, a lot of it was learning by ear.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
I didn't know how to read any music. No music, didn't know how to read music, didn't know how to play any scales, didn't know any chords, knew nothing, you know, but I was listening to Metallica. I was like, oh, cool. You know, is there some type of music? My cousin, the friend, showed me stuff like from Ultimate Guitar. And I was like, you know, so I taught myself how to read tablature after a long while, you know, figuring out, oh, so what do these numbers mean? And all these lines. And I took that and then I developed my hearing listening to the records. So then, you know, over time, I was hearing, like, these tabs are totally 100% wrong. You know, that's kind of how I started, just listening and listening and trying to emulate the exact sound as these guys were doing.
Yeah, Ultimate Guitar was a little rough, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was rough, man, but, you know, I'm very, you know, thankful that I've went through all that that wood shedding.
Yeah, you have
definitely wood shedding. I mean, those times are horrible, right?
Yeah, man, you gotta start somewhere, right?
You have to start somewhere, so that was my somewhere for sure.
And when did you start taking guitar serious? Like, at what point where you were like, oh man, I gotta take it to the next level? You know, it's like, I know you start learning your power chords, you start learning, you know, listening by ear, but I'm sure there was a point where you're like, oh, I gotta take it to the next level. Is there a point where you're like, oh, what year was that when you start, you know, taking it serious?
Well, after I kind of got through, like, seeing how bands kind of create their music, I started trying to write stuff immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in my early to mid-20s, I was really taking it seriously, like trying to start writing my own music, just rhythm guitar, my own lyrics and stuff, because I used to like to write.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I was doing that, but it wasn't until later in maybe I was 26, 27, where I wanted to learn classical guitar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I hit a roadblock in my playing. I mean, there's only so much you can teach yourself that I felt that I could teach myself. And I came across Randy Rhoads' music and his guitar solos. I was like, this stuff is amazing. How come I can't play it? Why do I suck?
What do I suck?
Crazy train.
I couldn't play any lead at all. And I was reading about him that, you know, he was a classical player, classically trained. And I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard rumors that he was going to eventually leave Ozzy to just do a classical guitar career.
Oh, wow.
It's like, that was like, you know, that's when it hit me. Like, you know, maybe there's something special with classical guitar that I'm just not getting. That he gets, obviously, that's special. And as soon as I started studying classical guitar, that's when I took guitar serious 100%. So,
oh, wow.
I think the 8 years probably I've taken it pretty serious. Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. So, how do you like, I mean, how was your experience, like, transitioning to classical? Like, I mean, well, I don't know. I couldn't imagine it. Like, you know, you've been playing metal for a while, or, you know, you got a little heavier stuff, and then bam, classical. So it's like, it's a whole new world. So it's like, how did you feel, man, like going into that?
It was brutal.
Was it?
Mainly so from when I started going to school. You know, because I was going to school, when I started going to school for it, I was just like around all these musicians that I've been playing since high school, doing band and trumpet and phenomenal pianists, and, you know, could like sing all the solfege and everything. And that's when I was just like, man, this stuff is hard and it's going to take time. And, you know, teachers were brutal on me, like, personally.
You suck.
And I'm just like, you know, what did I get myself into, you know? But I love the music, and, you know, I sought out a guitar instructor, classical instructor, James Hunley, and he mentored me. He showed me that, that the music isn't about all of these things that, it's not so academic. Music's not supposed to be so academic. It's supposed to be from the heart, from the soul. You can learn a lot of stuff from school and theory and stuff, but at the end of the day, it's still your own voice. And
yeah, it's still got to be you. Yeah.
So that helped make the transition a lot easier. And then he's a, you know, hell of a player. He studied with Pepe Romero, and, you know, I kind of got that knowledge, you know, from him and all of his years of studying. He was a concert classical player, so. Taking that, you know, I kind of call him my Obi-Wan.
There you go.
He's my Obi-Wan, you know. I'm just Jedi, still learning, still training. And that made the transition a lot easier for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine, bro, like you going through all that. But all right, brother, so we're about to go take a break. So we're going to let you name the second song.
Yes, let's play Recuerdos de Alhambra by Pepe Romero. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
So,
all right, welcome back. We just took a little break. We were listening to some music. We were drinking up. And our other host, he was a little late. He was fighting traffic. He was fighting supervillains. He was fighting people in Winneka to get here, and he made it.
That is true. It is me, Ogre.
It is Ogre. But yeah, we're back from a little break, and we were just talking to our buddy here, David, and he was telling us how he was getting mentored, and he was doing classical. And so we're going to ask you, brother, so how is it doing the whole band thing? I mean, how many bands have you been so far, bro?
Well, Afikis is my, I think my second real band.
All right.
The first band I started with my cousin. We were together for about 3 or 4 years in the early days, just good grinding, playing backyard shows in Huntington Park.
Hell yeah.
You know, I remember Sacrificer and, you know, all those guys. And that was probably my first real band, and this is my second real band. Just kind of some pit stops in between.
Yeah, a bunch of like side projects that never got anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a trip, you know, going on from, you know, starting from a little band into like, oh, you start playing big stages and seeing big old crowds. Like, how was your first show, bro? How was that one? Like, your first backyard show or something?
You know, I was kind of just really blown away. It's like I could tell, like the level of musicianship, you know, from the guys that had been doing it for a while, and we're kind of like opening up for these guys, and I was just like, oh man, this is a trip. And you see all these people pitting hard, and like dirt just being flung in the air. I was like, but this is interesting, you know, from going from just playing in the back room, you know, of the house and stuff, to playing a real show. It was definitely a trip.
It's a trip, man.
I mean, you know, I kind of didn't know what to expect. You know, I'm just like, you know, let's just get set up as fast as we can. Hopefully the amps work.
The broken cymbals?
Let's not drop any cymbal stands.
Oh, know? Man.
You know, it was, that's how it was. And then, and you know, it's very interesting. As soon as you start playing, it's like, you know, the curtains come up, and then it's just, you know, you're in a different place, man. I was in a different world. It was just like, you know, you're just totally focused on the music and just, you know, feeding off the energy from everybody. So that part of it was very exciting. You know, the setting up and then the tearing down, making sure that, you know, the next band gets on time, and that was kind of anxious, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
it was pretty cool, man. It was pretty cool. I think one of the early shows that we played Raining Blood. It's a cover song.
Yeah, it's my favorite song.
Yeah.
Angel of Death and Raining Blood.
I was playing, and then, you know, some guy, you know, had some beer, like a 40 or whatever, and he got hit from the pit to my cousin, who was playing the lead parts on it, and like the beer just went into his pickups and
oh, damn.
He shut down his guitar, and I'm just like there playing, you know, I'm just like, you know, trying to hold it down.
Everybody's fighting and shit, you just keep playing. Yeah. No, you're like, it's like the Titanic, when the Titanic was sinking in, then you're just playing the music.
Play the music, man. Play the music. Luckily, it was the last song, because, yeah.
You always gotta play those, the covers last, right?
Yeah,
you gotta play the good ones. Always. Oh, man. I mean, I miss playing backyard shows. Like, I mean, we played recently, but it's like, when we're young, you know,
like,
you know.
Raw.
You don't have any equipment. Hey, bro, was it six set? Can I borrow your amp? Oh, man, like those days. Yeah, like you don't really have much, and you're just trying to have a good time.
Can I borrow your vocalist?
Oh, man, those are good times, man, good times. I remember one time I played in North Hollywood, I was really nervous, and I was drinking Jack Daniels, and they were like, "Hey, Brian, you're up, your band's up." And I'm like, "Cool." I get up there, setting up. I see the crowd. It's a big old crowd. I'm like, "All right, let's do this." I blink, and I hear a ta-da. Everyone's like, "Ah!" And I was like, "Oh shit!" And then someone's holding the mic for me like this, like they're holding the mic in front of my mouth. And I was like, "Where's the mic stand?" And I looked at my friend. And I was like, "Hey, bro, how many songs did I play?" And he was like, "Brian, did you black out?" And I was like, "Nah." And he's like, "Oh, you blacked out." And I was like, "You played three. You already played two songs, Brian." "I did." He goes, "Yeah." And I was like, "Oh man,
damn.
How did we sound?" And he's like, "You sounded like shit, bro." And he's like, "But they loved it." I was like, "Oh man, like those are times I remember." It's
like the show's over. You're like, "We already finished."
Never again. I never drank that much ever again for a show, but those. Little things like that reminds me of my days playing backyard shows. So, what was your, right? I know as you transitioning from backyard shows and you got into like bigger shows, what was probably the biggest show you ever played?
The biggest show I played with
Madison Square Garden
with the Knicks.
That's the Becca, right?
The Dream.
Yeah, we played at the Rockstar Mayhem Festival.
Oh,
yeah, we got
sick.
To remember that show, yeah. We won a battle of the bands at the Whiskey.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and Rob Zombie and Avenged Sevenfold, I think, were the headliners that year. I think it was 2014, maybe.
And you got to play with them on their tour?
Yeah, we got to open up for the show. So, like, they had three different stages, which is cool, and... they said, "All right, you know, you guys are up," and you know, they went through like a little sound check, and before we listened to Cannibal Corpse doing their sound check right next to us, like, "Oh damn!" And then you know, you see all these people just coming down the hill. It was like The Walking Dead or something. Like, it was blurring, dude. Like I was just like, "Wow!" Like at one point you just say like fuck it, you know, this is gonna be the biggest show, you know, I've ever played. There's just so many people, and then it's become like, you know, you just don't care anymore. Just like, ah, you know, let's just have fun. And yeah, that was the biggest show we played.
Oh man, did you get to meet any of those bands, like the Cannibal Corpse or any of them? Or?
No, you know, we didn't get to meet them, but we. We're out trying to mingle with people that were at the show, mm-hmm. trying to help at our merch booth, and you know, hook some people up with different stuff. But our drummer Jimmy, he got one of the autographs from Ben Sevenfold. He went backstage and he got an autograph.
Oh no, sneaky!
Damn.
Yeah.
He was our drummer for that show, and you know, he was with the band, and now we have Albert, you know. Albert,
oh, my bae. That's my love right there. I love that guy.
Albert's in the band? I don't know. Albert's in your band? Damn.
He's in my band, bro.
Dude, he's such a good drummer.
He's kicking ass, man. He's kicking
ass
for sure.
Yeah, he's very handsome.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd do him in the butt.
That's so cool, man. Like, how was the crowd for that show? How was the energy?
Dude, it was probably one of the first shows that I played where people were pitting, like, within the first minute.
Oh, wow.
And I was blown away. I was like, usually, you know, you play...
They just watch and just look at you, stare.
See people like this, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, sizing you up, and maybe if you're doing pretty well by the third song, and then they start getting into it and stuff. These guys were just into it right away. They embraced us right away, which was cool. Up to that point, you know, I didn't really experience that, so I was excited.
Oh, nice, man. I mean, you gotta have. That's probably one for the books, especially, huh?
Yeah, it was definitely one for the books, you know. It was one of those shows where you just felt like you belonged, you know. It was just like kind of validation of, you know, the hard work, and like people that never heard you before they're there and they're just, you know, rocking out to your stuff. And I was just like, that was a great feeling. You know, it's like, cool, you know.
Hell yeah.
But every time I play a show, I try to just at least inspire one person.
You, I'm gonna inspire you.
I'm with the random person in the crowd. He's like eating his hot dog.
You.
That show was just awesome.
Hell yeah, that's crazy, bro. Like, you know how you're like, you teach people how to play guitar, then you're doing classical, and then you're playing with your band. It's like it's crazy how you're able to balance all that in your life. And you know, when it comes to your writing process for your music, how do you put all that together?
Kind of like a mad scientist.
Like putting little chemicals in.
Yeah, we're putting this chemical with this chemical, and we're mixing them, and you know, we hope that doesn't blow up in our face. And, you know, we're on the whiteboard, you know, drawing these really complicated formulas, you know, trying to, you know, figure it out, you know, or shaking the tree. it's been pretty interesting because me and Mike, we'll get together, we'll throw down the riffs, and then kind of just create the skeleton of the song, some different ideas, and kind of just go from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's very, very, you know, that's where the, from having a music education and learning the classical guitar and
mm-hmm.
playing the solos, it's like, oh, you know, we created this thing out of thin air. It's like, oh, now here are these different possibilities that we can do. Let's try it. Let's harmonize this. Let me play this lead here. Maybe we can do this type of rhythm here. But it all starts with that one riff. I mean, everything starts with that one riff. I mean, the blueprints of all these bands are already there. They've made the blueprints.
Yeah.
You know, it's just to kind of filter everything that you like and love into your own thing. So that's kind of how we make music. Not trying to reinvent the wheel, just...
Yeah, just go with the flow, you know?
So it makes it easier for you, having a music education background, makes it easier to write a song, do you think?
I feel like...
Or you still struggle?
It makes it easier to branch out those initial riffs that you created to begin with.
If that makes sense.
Because, I mean, you could bang your head against the wall, learn as much theory as you can, and that won't help you create anything, you know. So being creative and being having a good imagination are the things that helped you write great songs. I mean, Hendrix didn't know any theory and shit like that. Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, all these great musicians. Most metal players don't, and it all comes up, I think, with a great riff. You come up with a great riff. Then you can use that musical experience to add different colors and different, you know, you just create that painting. You know what I mean? It's having a musical background, I feel it's like having a wider color palette. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. It's like you have all these different colors. What do you want to do? Like, you still have to be creative with the colors you use.
Oh yeah, it still takes some skill in the end of the day. Like, you know, was it a trial and error?
Yeah, and at the end of the day, if it sounds like bad, you know, it's gonna be a bad song, you know? You know, I mean, your ears are your best guide.
Whatever gets your booty shooking.
Yeah, it gets your booty shaking, you know, you want to, you know, go, you know, dancing, and, you know, that's how you know you made something good, you know. You want to take off your shirt and go stripping.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, then you got something. I think you got something. You're on the right track.
Exactly. That's crazy. I mean, I see, the audience can't really see, I mean... But you got like an arsenal of gear behind you. You have a bunch of guitars, amps,
a couple
guns, knives.
Wait, so you have, what, 5 electric guitars, and I see, what, 2 acoustic?
So on this one, I have 3 acoustic and 5 electric guitars. So they're all in a different tuning. I have 2 of them that are stage guitars, my Explorer and my Wild Audio V, and then the Zachwald Bullseye I use for teaching. That's like kind of could travel with, play in any other tuning. And then the Jackson, it's in standard. It's Warhammer here is in fully drop tune. So they're all in different tunings.
Oh, I get it.
So you have a huge, Black Label Society influence on your music?
Oh, man.
No, that's a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, tell just a little bit. I'm trying to go overboard. I love Zach, man. I mean, there's no question. I love Zach Wild, Randy Rhodes, Tony Iommi. I love Stevie Ray Vaughan, James Hetfield, Marty Freeman, I really like, and classical, you know, James Humley, my teacher, my mentor, and Pepe Romero on classical too. So those are all my guys.
Also, those are your main influences right there?
Yeah, my main influences right there.
The big boys. Yeah, man, you gotta appreciate those guys, man, that took the time and effort to practice and play shows, because if it wasn't for them, a lot of us wouldn't be picking up instruments ourselves, you know?
Yeah, that's true, man.
Especially Marty Freeman. For me, Marty Freeman was huge when I first started. I was a huge Megadeth fan when I was young. Yeah. Huge. Once I heard Rust in Peace, I was like, that's it.
Rest in peace, dog.
That's what's up, man. That album is one for the books, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, brother. So, like, you know, as a, you know, guitarist and all, for people who are barely picking up a guitar, you know, what kind of advice would you give them? You know, so you know, because you know, some people pick it up and get frustrated and everything. But what would you tell them as a little advice?
For someone learning to play or just starting.
Just starting.
Number one, to always stay true to yourself and love the music. Remember why you picked up the guitar to begin with.
Get bitches.
That's true. Number one, get bitches.
No, that's the top reason. Oh, man. I think the main thing, just love why you play the guitar to begin with. Love why you play, and it's a journey. You know, don't try to play to impress other people. Don't try to play to be competitive. Be competitive with yourself, and to love the process of practicing and doing all the hard stuff. Because it's a journey, and that type of journey is for the rest of your life. You know, it doesn't get any easier.
Yeah, true.
You can play, you know, the more that I know now, I realize I don't know anything at all. I'm still learning. And I think that, you know, all the greatest guitar players, they continue to learn. And so just be true to yourself and know why you playing guitar to begin with. Yeah. For the girls.
There you go, the girls. Yeah.
So we're going to come to the end of the podcast, and there's always a question I've been asking at the end, and do you have any ghost stories or anything paranormal that's ever happened to you?
Ghost stories or paranormal?
Oh, I saw that guitar move.
Yeah. Guitar move.
The guitar moved. Start playing on its own.
I don't know. I've seen like some spirits when I was very small, at like 3 years old. And that impacted me very on to show me that there are things that I don't understand, and I don't think we will understand until we're gone. But yeah, I definitely saw a spirit.
Wow.
When I was 3 years old.
Were you scared?
Or
you just didn't understand?
I knew who it was. I knew who it was. And I was three, and it brought me a lot of comfort at that time. And I was one of the ones that, did see something, yeah.
Oh, wow. Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know, man. Not many people see stuff, man, but... Yeah.
It's a good thing though, you know. So I think a lot of people have, you know, whether they see ghosts or spirits. Sometimes it's like their family members or something, you know, and it, you feel peace. You know, there's nothing terrifying. It's just peace you feel.
Yeah, I mean, I remember waking up. It was like 3 a.m, and I was staying at another relative's house, and I heard this voice and. I got up out of bed and I went up the stairs and I saw this family member, and it was real, you know. I haven't forgotten that to this day. So,
oh, trippy, man.
I definitely believe in spirits for sure.
All right, man.
Something else after, you know.
Yeah, it's a trip, man. Life's a trip. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you what.
Sure.
Until you. All right, bro. So we're getting near the end. So we're gonna give you the chance to tell the audience where, you know, you could tell them that where they can reach you, because I know this guy is an instructor. So if any of you guys want to get lessons or online or any of that, you know, he's gonna give you the info, and plus we will provide it in the, we post it up on our IG and everything. But you know, where can these people contact you?
Yeah, they can contact me, David Paul Torres Guitar on Instagram, and also on our band Instagram, Afucus_official.
All right.
All right, awesome.
Hey, any last shout-outs, bro, before we go near the end?
Well, thank you guys. You know, Brian, for, you know, you guys setting all this up.
Hell yeah.
Very grateful, man. You guys are totally cool. This is so much fun. We got to do this again live.
Yeah, I do a live. True. Do a live
because
show.
I was late, so that's my bad. I just got out of work. That's why I couldn't be here.
Yeah, dude, we have to do the show all over again just because you were late.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
Hey, you tell them.
Let's just stop the recording and start over.
Dude, let's do it. I'll bring some McAllen. You know, let's play some guitar.
Well, I'm down. That's what usually I do have. I have drinks here for the guys, beers, and we have whiskey. So, like I said, we just drink first before the show even starts. And we drink during the show, and then we drink after the show.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. So, I mean, we have to come up with a plan to kick Corona's ass.
Harry,
right?
Hell yeah.
As fast as we can.
With Modelo's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, man, exactly. Modelo. Just drink Modelo's. Third song. What is the third song you have for us?
The third song is Black Label Society, The Beginning at Last.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to Consider Dead Podcast. I'm Dead King.
Ogre.
Travis from Winneka.
This is David Paul Torres here. And want to say thanks, guys, for tuning in, listening in. Also, shout out to my bandmates, Mike Lisea, Jose Gonzalez, Salva Pineda. They're rock stars.
Hell yeah.
You guys are rock stars. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Peace.